Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. You know you're welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. There's an instant feedback tab that tells who you are, where you're from. And feel free to ask a question of myself or my guest joining us shortly, Kelly Hampton. She is the best-selling author of Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected. We're excited to speak with Kelly. You can also know that her website is kellyhampton.com. That's Kelly with an E, K-E-L-L-E, Hampton.com. If you're listening through our site, just click on Kelly's name. It'll take you right to her website. She'll be joining us in 1 minute. First, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Listen, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing and never forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I am bombarded, especially with some of the topics we have on this show. I am bombarded with emails about people telling me about their belief systems and their gods and telling me and trying to convince me, listen, don't tell me about your God and your beliefs with your words. Show me about your God. Show me about your beliefs with your actions. Get out there and participate in this great journey, not only in your journey, but in someone else's as well. I find that in this day when so many people are embracing their spirituality, I think it's a beautiful thing. But don't think for a second it means turn your back on your humanity. One of the most spiritual things you can do is embrace your humanity and do it simple. Keep it simple. The power of one. One kind gesture. One person at a time, one day at a time. Do it, and that's how things change. I love it, and thank you so much, A Better Today community, for sharing this show. We are heard in over 100 countries. We've never once advertised this show. That is all you. Thank you so much for telling everybody and for participating in so many people's journeys. I want to get to the show because I'm very interested in having this conversation. Kelly Hampton's the author of the popular award-winning blog, Enjoying the Small Things. She's received numerous honors, and her book, Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected, a memoir by Kelly Hampton, is receiving tons of rave reviews, and I'm excited to have this conversation. Kelly Hampton, welcome to Empowered Living Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Bloom. Well, first I took a look at your blog, and you are an incredible photographer. And the way that you share your words, not just your photography, but I guess the way that you live your life, you shoot from the hip. I love it. It's plain but powerful at the same time. So congratulations and thank you for sharing that with the internet world. And please tell us about the books and congrats on the success with Bloom.
Oh, thank you very much. Bloom is the story of our first year with our second daughter. It begins with the birth story of Nella, who joined us in January of 2010. Life was wonderful. We had a 2.5-year-old daughter at the time, Lainey, and my husband has two stepsons. And I had quit my job as an elementary school teacher a few years before with pursuing photography. Everything was wonderful, just as I had expected for my life to be in my young 30s. And we went to the hospital to give birth to Nella, And the minute she was placed in my arms, I knew, before anyone else did, I knew that Nella had Down syndrome. And my world was shattered. And a pediatrician came in an hour later and indeed confirmed that Nella had Down syndrome. And I'll never forget the way that she told me was, her very first words to me were, she's beautiful and she's perfect, but there are some features that made me believe that she has Down syndrome. And those words began our journey. She's beautiful and she's perfect. And the book goes through my emotions and the experiences that we had, some sad, kind of going through this grief period and eventually getting to this new perspective. And the book really isn't so much about Down syndrome, but more so about the shared experience of facing challenges in life. And at some point, we all have this moment where we realize something didn't go as planned and life doesn't look exactly how we had expected and how we deal with that. For me, writing this book, I was I'm very honest and expressed some raw feelings and some that aren't so easy to express and kind of dig deep into my own feelings and my past and how I got to where I am now. At the end of the journey, at the end of this book, which is at the end of Nella's first year, just being in this place of acceptance and embracing change and knowing that challenges make us into interesting characters and that a simple life of comfort does nothing to change us.
It's really powerful. You know, it's some of the greatest messages come out of the greatest messes. And I would imagine in coping with this, finding this message in here, you probably went through and sorted through a lot of beliefs you knew you had, as well as a lot that you didn't know you had.
Absolutely. I say I've never thought so much in my life. Those first months that Nella was born, I cried. I thought, was deep in thought, laying in bed at night in the car, just digging through my past and my spirituality and why did this happen and what can I do with it. And, you know, a lot of the grief that I faced in the beginning was based on stereotypes in this. We're sculpted so much by society, and we let society determine how we think and set our standards for perfection. And I kind of had to tear that down and rebuild it and take control of the reins myself. And facing these challenges in life, it's all about perspective, and we all have the responsibility and the ability to be happy in life. We make choice. Happiness is a choice. And I knew in being given this challenge that I can't change anything, but I can certainly change the way that I go about my life and my perspective and the way that we affect others.
You know, you bring up such a great point, and that's the stereotype, the idea that you had before experiencing it yourself. Is it like most things where you thought it was going to be a lot worse than it actually is? I just from reading your words, I see that you find it an incredibly enriching experience.
It is. And, you know, in the beginning, I look back and think how silly it was that I thought so much of the things that I felt in the beginning. And, you know, even the questions that I asked the pediatrician, you know, how long will she live? Will she walk? Will she talk? Obviously, the very first wave of grief is kind of giving up this child that you had imagined in your mind for 9 months of pregnancy and realizing that the child, you know, that in my case, the one I was holding in my arms was this baby that I had carried for 9 months and that this idea of this other child never existed. You know, my very first fears were, you know, will she be healthy? And what will she be able to do? What are her limitations in life? Will she be made fun of? And I can honestly tell you, although Nella's only 2.5 right now, life right now with 2 young daughters looks exactly how I'd imagined it would be before we learned Nella had Down syndrome. She has proved me wrong so many times, which also goes to show you the power of high expectations. And when you believe that a child can, they're much more able to achieve that than if you tell them, I'm sorry, you won't be able to do this because of your disability. We treat Nella no differently than we do Lainey and my 2 stepsons and the environment in our home. We treat our children equally. And I've learned so much from other families with children with special needs, children with Down syndrome, and have seen into the future, and it looks so much more hopeful than I had imagined. Down syndrome looks a lot different today than it did 20 years ago. Individuals with Down syndrome today are going to college and living independently, getting married, driving cars, and a lot of that is because of the way that society has changed. We're more accepting. We have federally funded programs that provide early intervention for children with Down syndrome. We have in-home therapies for the first 3 years of Nella's life, and I think a lot more will be done in the future. There's still a lot more that needs to be done in raising awareness and in the way that the opportunities that are given to these individuals. But, you know, life is a lot better than I thought. In the beginning, I thought that I would basically, you know, kiss goodbye this old life and that it would just be completely new. And life is no different than it was before Nella was here, except more joy.
And you brought up, you said something. Did I hear you right that you had to grieve the idea that you had for those 9 months? You had to grieve, in a sense, the loss of the baby you thought you were having?
You know, it's almost, I feel awful comparing it to this because anyone who's lost a child, obviously that's something I've never experienced, but you lose this you know, imaginary child. And it was, you know, that first night in the hospital was the most concentrated grief I've ever experienced. I cried, you know, 7 hours straight in that hospital bed and just, you know, trying to make sense of it all. And it is, you definitely have to grieve the loss. And yes, there are limitations and there are things that are unfortunate that come with Down syndrome. There are, you know, some health issues and there are cognitive delays. But I've found that those aren't as bad as I had thought before. And a lot of it is just in our perspective. And when you really think about what life is really about, I think, especially for people my age and my young 30s, you know, we can really get hung up on this idea of success and our jobs and intellect. And when you really get down to the end of life and you look back at the moments that were the most important, they aren't those things. They are family and vacations and holidays and relationships. And I'll tell you, all those moments and my relationships have been deepened, and my appreciation for them has deepened since Nella has been born, and I'm so thankful for that.
Folks, we're having a conversation with Kelly Hampton. She is the best-selling author of Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected, a memoir. She's also has a popular blog, Enjoying the Small Things. Her website is kellyhampton.com. That's K-E-L-L-E, Hampton.com. If you're listening through our website, just click on Kelly's name. It'll take you right to kellyhampton.com. Kelly, what you just said is powerful. You're talking about the power of really letting go in this grieving process, letting go. But not only that, I love what you said about children with Down syndrome being looking different. Their future looks different than it did 20 years ago. In a lot of ways, when you let go of that, Kelly, you got, and I believe that I would have an outdated version of what a person with Down syndrome is like. It sounds like you had an updated version, and as you got that updated version of what they're like, it sounds to me like not only the reason that they're future looks different than it did 20 years ago is because their parents and information is different than it was 20 years ago.
Absolutely. And I found that in the many families that I've talked to, and, you know, we raise our children with high expectations, and we believe that they are capable, and that is changing. You know, and I do feel ashamed in a sense of before Nella was born, how I avoided the topic and didn't know a lot about it, never thought to ask, would see families in the grocery store with a child with Down syndrome and just felt so sorry for them. And, you know, and you talk to any families, they'll say, don't feel sorry for us. My child brings me joy and, you know, ask questions and treat them the same as you would treat any other child. And I go out of my way now when I see an individual with Down syndrome. Just the other day I was in the grocery store and there was a local woman here I had seen many times before Nella was born. And I went out of my way to ask her name and smile and tell her I've seen you before and I wanted to introduce myself and, you know, be kind to them and don't avoid them. And it's, you know, when this is the way that things will be changed. And I think there's a lot of parents out there with children with Down syndrome. We are all together moving forward and want to change these stereotypes. And I'm excited for the future. I'm excited about how much further we can take this, and the more awareness we can raise.
So you pen a fantastic book, Bloom, Finding the Beauty in the Unexpected, a memoir by Kelly Hampton. It finds itself on the New York Times bestseller list. Did you expect when penning this, or when even beginning to write this down and share, that you would in many ways become the face or someone who's been honored by such organizations as the National Down Syndrome Society and National Down Syndrome Congress? Did you expect to be in such a prominent position?
Absolutely not. We are humbled. We are thankful. And I will tell you that we are one of many. There are many parents out there doing the same things and making changes, and I'm so grateful to be part of this community. You know, when I originally wrote Nella's birth story a week after she was born, this all started out in a small blog, and I had friends and family reading, and just kind of did it for myself and joining my loves for writing and photography, and had absolutely no idea, you know, within a week of writing that story, It went viral, and it connected me to a lot of other women that have gone through this and have said they felt the same emotions and perhaps felt ashamed to talk about them. And not only from that, I think one of the biggest surprises in this has been, you know, the majority of my blog readership and the people that are reading the book are people that don't have children with Down syndrome. And that it's humbling in a way that connects you and realize, you know what? The overall theme of this in terms of Down syndrome is that we are all more alike than different, but it goes so far beyond Down syndrome. We are all more alike than different, and that no matter where we come from, where we live, what experience we're going through, whether we have children, don't have children, we all experience grief in life. We all experience a hardship, and we can relate to each other in the feelings that we go through and having to kind of rebuild our lives. And I talk in the book about this white picket fence idea that we have, that society has. And, you know, I talk about my childhood a bit and how that was torn down very early in my life with my parents' divorce and some issues that I had in very early on in my life and realizing that people are different. And moving on from that, but I say that the fence that we erected in this place is crazy colored, and I wouldn't change it for anything. I would rather have a wild, vibrant fence than a white perfect one any day, and that beauty and imperfection and you know, really asking yourself, what does perfection mean? And for me, I've learned more since Nella's been born. Perfection is messy, and it's a journey. It's being not quite there, and it really comes down to happiness and contentment and the things that make us happy and forgiving ourselves. You know, nobody's perfect.
I love what you're saying right now. Folks, this brilliant woman you're listening to is Kelly Hampton. She is the best-selling author of Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected. Her website is kellyhampton.com. That's KELLEHampton.com. If you're listening through our website, just click on Kelly's name. It'll take you right to her website. It opens a new window, so if you wanted to browse her blog, Enjoying the Small Things, while you listen to this brilliant woman speak, you can do that, and it won't affect the show at all. So as you're writing this down in the beginning, it's really serving as therapy to you in many ways, and you didn't realize that it would actually do the same for hundreds of thousands of other people. What role did your friends play, and how did your relationship to your husband alter or solidify or change during this process as well?
Great question, and I write a lot about the support in the book. There's this very a theme of friendship, and some of the people that showed up to support us, and the people that were there in the hospital. I had several friends with me when Nella was actually born, and it has brought me together in new ways with my friends. And I laugh and tell my friends, I hope you guys could all have something, you know, go through some sort of heartbreak in life, as awful as that sounds, because it will really make you appreciate your friends more. You know, and most of my friends are also young moms, and many of them have told me, we're so glad Nella's a part of our lives because we want our children to learn from her, and we know that our children will be more compassionate from having this experience in their life of knowing Nella. And it was also, you know, part of friendship, and I have very, very close friends with women, and I get asked a lot about my friendships and, you know, how did you develop these friendships and how do you get over some of these issues that women have in friendships with you know, petty things here and there. And it's a part of life and a part of having a group of friends. And I tell them that, you know, going through this and going through challenges and the humbling experience of asking for help and being vulnerable and expressing that vulnerability. There were many times where I would call friends crying, just saying, I need you. You know, I need you. Help me. And what that did to our friendship and having the favor returned. I call it a favor because I consider it an honor when a friend asks for help, when a friend asks for help. And just the ways that it brought us together, actually, on Nella's first birthday, that evening, I talk about it in the book, but I had a sort of celebration with all these women that had been a part of my life throughout that first year of facing this challenge. And we celebrated together that evening, all of us in a big circle and at a restaurant, and all went around and shared. And it's interesting, you know, how many, between my friends, how many challenges we've all gone through and certain issues we've all had with each other over the years. And in that moment, when you realize any one of us, when we face hardship, and all of us, you know, being friends for years and years to come, we know we'll eventually, you know, start losing our parents and these things that will inevitably happen, to know that we will show up for each other. We will always be there. And I value my friendship so much more. And as far as my marriage, it's been a beautiful thing. And realizing, I think we recognize more our strengths. And I talk in the book that it's very strange, kind of naturally. When Brett was strong, I was weak, and vice versa. It was this kind of unspoken agreement we had with each other that we, you know, when I was down, I needed him to be strong, and he did the same. And how we handle grief differently. I'm very vocal and expressive, and my husband, Brett, is more quiet. And yet it made me appreciate the sort of laid-back quality he has and the true father that he is. His very first words when Nella was born and then the pediatrician delivered us with the news, his very first words were, well, can we take her home? And I tear up even saying it now. That's all he ever cares about is, can I take my kid home? That's all that matters. And I appreciate so much more the father that he is. And we've learned to communicate more with each other through this. And I know it will help us in challenges in the years to come with our family and our marriage.
Is the community you find yourself in, you find yourself in a community with other parents who have children with Down syndrome. As I hear, Nella's been a blessing to your family, to your friends, and the situation itself has been a solidifying situation. I can imagine that for Lainey, your older daughter, it must be an experience for her that you also find enriching and challenging.
Absolutely. And I say, you know, I dedicate this book to Lainey in the beginning because I say she's the one who showed me how to love in the beginning when I was holding Nella. And that first day in the hospital, just looking at her like this wasn't the baby that I had imagined. In walks my little two-year-old daughter in this room full of people and cameras flashing. And in that entire room, the only one who did not see Down syndrome was Lainey. And to be able to see Nella through the eyes of my 2.5-year-old at the time and realize, you know, how pure a child's love is, and they don't know of these stereotypes yet, and they haven't been poisoned by society yet. What a beautiful thing that was. And she kind of led me into viewing Nella as she should be viewed. And their relationship is a beautiful thing to see. And I love, you know, even when they have their little fits and Nella takes something from Lainey and they're both crying, I always smile and think, you know, this is something that that's part of any typical sibling relationship, and I love that Down syndrome does not change that at all. And yet there's this beautiful extra element of love between the two of them and this kind of protectiveness on of Lainey for her little sister. And I look forward to seeing what that relationship will look like in the future, perhaps a little different than I had imagined their relationship would be in adulthood. But I know that it will be special, and I know that the differences in our lives will be a blessing to Lainey, and that I believe she will be a more compassionate individual someday and more giving to society, I hope.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to hear you describe a sense of sibling normalcy that you didn't think that you would be seeing.
Yes, and that was actually one of the biggest waves of grief in the beginning, almost more than my own grief. It would really hit me hard that first week of just feeling like I had that I let Lainey down, or feeling like I had to give up this beautiful thing that I had imagined. I mean, I had a sister, and when I found out I was having another girl, I was so excited that, oh, sisters, this is something, a relationship that I value so much. And I thought I had to grieve that, and then just knowing that it might look a little different, but that it will be beautiful in its own way. And actually, my own sister, it was a real turning point for me in the story, was the day after Nala was born. My sister flew from Michigan, came into the hospital, and I call it the I Have a Dream speech. She gave me the most beautiful words that day, and this perspective, and telling me that, you know, this relationship between the girls might look a little different, but it will, you will give Lainey a gift. She'll have things that other sibling relationships don't have, and she'll be so thankful for that. And just my sister reminded me that not to let society affect the way I think, that I was in control of my own feelings, and that I could choose my perspective, and that my attitude would change this entire thing. And I remember my family told me in the beginning, they were a wonderful support, and they were truly helpful in accepting this quickly. But my family said, we're actually jealous of you, because you will know the secret. You will know things that none of us will ever get to experience. And remember my sister said, people may pity you someday and they may look at you, but you will smile and you will want to tell them, I have a secret. I have a secret that you don't know. And, you know, I already feel that 2.5 years down this journey, I already feel that.
It's so empowering to listen to you talk about the power of perspective. Not only that, but the choice of perspective. We hear constantly that we're conditioned in our thoughts and that we're telling ourselves a story, and it's true, but you really, it seems like you through this process became aware of the present and what's true, and really took the task to question the story you're telling yourself, to question any disempowered thought you have, and really seize hold of the power of perspective.
I'll tell you what, it's changed me in that it's going through this and realizing, you know, I have a choice. I have two choices. I can be sad. I can complain. I can say this is not fair. I cannot change the circumstance. My child has Down syndrome. Or I can say, what can I do with this? How can I be happy? How can I take this to a new level? And it has been so empowering realizing how happy I am when I choose that other perspective. I remember my sister told me in the hospital, she said, imagine in your mind the perfect version of what this looks like to you. Imagine walking down an aisle in a store with all these packaged outlooks. Pick the one. You become it. You be the one. And it's also important to say that, you know, there is, I make room for sadness. I don't ever want to have this unrealistic view. Yes, there are some things that, you know, maybe are, quote, unfair, and yes, I let myself cry and say this really stinks, you know, that we have these limitations. But at the same time, I don't wallow in it for very long, only because it's debilitating to me and what I'm able to do. And in handling it this way, in this beautiful perspective I found, and feeling so empowered by being happy and writing about it and moving forward, and it's made me ask myself in other areas of life, what am I capable of? I'm excited. I want to grab life by the horn, so to speak, and move forward. And I'm capable of so much. You know, it's really made me realize how much power I have and the strength I have as a woman, as a friend, as a mother, as a wife. And I'm excited to see how that grows throughout the years.
So powerful. And I love that you're sharing this with us, because in many ways, the beauty of the human experience, the beauty of human potential is by you sharing that you could be empowered enough to have a choice towards that perspective, you inspire and empower others to realize that they do as well. And I love that you're sharing that. And folks, we're having a great conversation with bestselling author Kelly Hampton. She is the author of Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected, a memoir. You can check out her website, kellyhampton.com. That's K-E-L-L-E, hampton.com. If you're listening to our website, just click on Kelly's name. It'll take you right to kellyhampton.com. She also has a fantastic blog on that site called Enjoying the Small Things. She's an incredible photographer, and you're listening to her. This woman's brilliant and empowered. So check out kellyhampton.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I promise you I'll get you some of this feedback. Feedback is super busy right now. So many people have so many beautiful things to say and some questions to ask, and we'll get to them when we get back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. We'll be right back. Just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true, the scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You, picking on the weaker man.
Hey, 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 welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Hey, make sure you check out our websites, abettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. I don't want your email address. I don't want anything from you at all. The whole point of our company is to make sure the arms of empowerment can reach out and embrace everybody 100% free. We don't collect any information from you. The only thing I ask is that you share this information. We've had some amazing people on, over 1,000 hours of radio with some incredible people, people like Kelly Hampton who are really sharing themselves and empowering and inspiring others with their story. The only thing I ask is that you tell others about them. Tell them about our show. Tell them about Kelly Hampton. Tell them about the incredible books like Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected. Share, share, share. Listen, we're all on the same team and in this together. Let's get out there and participate. So check out all our archives at empoweredlivingradio.com. We are having an incredible conversation with best-selling author Kelly Hampton. She is absolutely inspiring and, for me, brilliant. If you check out her website, kellyhampton.com, that's K-E-L-L-E, hampton.com, and check out her blog, too, Enjoying the Small Things. You'll see what I'm talking about. She's an incredible photographer, and the way that she writes is very inspiring, and she really shares insight and wisdom in a simple manner, and I absolutely love authors like that. So check out kellyhampton.com. We're going to take some feedback. Feedback's at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show, or through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. I'm going to start with Martha. Martha is in Nashville, Tennessee, and she writes, "Hey, Steve, excellent show. Can you please give Kelly a big hug for me and ask her how her relationship with God or universe or whatever religious belief she had has changed? I find that within my friends, all of our relationship changed once my daughter was born with Down syndrome. I would love to hear how her relationship changed and how she sees the purpose of all of this. Thank you."
Great question. And I talk about this in the book, and I actually grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor, and then we had some years after my parents' divorce where I went through a really hard time and discovering who God was, and had some things told to me that made me very fearful of God. And this all comes into play again later on in my adulthood when I talk about the fact that I embrace spirituality more than church. I think sometimes church can, while they do so much good in the world, sometimes church can manipulate the truth a little bit. And I got away from my own personal faith and spirituality for a while, and I really am more centered with those things. And Nella, after she was born, I went through this whole, you know, did this happen? Did God do this? Is there a God? You know, why did this happen? And really got to the place of just embracing it. And I have a more embracing view of spirituality in general. And I learned from so many people and other faiths, and try to be open to learn from other people's experiences. And through that, I feel like I'm at a very peaceful place with my own spirituality and faith. And I found it more in my own family and in nature and these kind of moments of solitude than personally for me than I have found in the church.
And what a beautiful thing to find. I mean, and this to me is what I love about what you write, and even the pictures that you take and share. What I find is that you are finding happiness, you're finding love, you're finding the things that make every cell in your body come alive. You're finding it in the most abundant places. You're finding it in the simplicity, and I love that about your work.
Oh, thank you. And I do. My saying now about God is that He is available, He's accessible, He's everywhere, and my picture of God is more of love than it is of this, you know, former image of fear that I used to have.
Oh, I love that, and that's a beautiful part of the, you know, the old idea is that you grow spiritual, and I think that what I hear you saying and what I've experienced in my own life is that's a silly concept. You don't actually grow spiritual. You shrink spiritual. It's letting go of the nonsense. It's releasing that nonsense and coming back to simplicity. I love hearing you say that. I'm going to keep going with some more feedback. Let's go with Valerie. Valerie's in San Diego. And Valerie writes, "Hey, Steve, I applaud you for continuously having on Empowered Women. I love this show. Please give Kelly a hug for me. And also ask her how she deals with what would drive me crazy is other people looking at her child and thinking only limitations. How does she keep herself from informing others and setting them straight about the beauty and potentiality of her wonderful daughter?"
Great question. I go about, number one, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I smile and I assume that people think the best of my child. And I will tell you, I've been surprised. It was one of the things that I've worried about. And actually what I worry about now is my older daughter not getting as much attention as Nella gets. When we go anywhere, people have gone out of their way and to say she's beautiful and, to say hi to her. And it's another one of those things I show by action. I think actions are always speak louder than words. And my blog has been a great place to sort of present what Down syndrome looks like in a read-between-the-lines way. And I hope that when people come that they see, several people have written me and said, I was reading for a long time before I even realized, oh, my God, I didn't realize this kid had Down syndrome. And I think that's a powerful statement. And I hope that's what people see when we're out and about. And that they'll see two little sisters that are really not much different from each other.
And that's another quite normal balance that I imagine that you have to find, is that idea of sibling rivalry and recognizing that you are paying equal attention. I love the idea of how normal everything is, and again, an upgraded version of what you thought life would be like. Let's keep going. Folks, I promise I'll shut up. I'm just excited to talk to Kelly. I think this story is great. But I'll go with more feedback. Kelly, there's so much feedback. And I have to tell you, I usually, I'm of course, only asking the questions. But, Kelly, I want to tell you that there's at least 50 feedbacks that I've been clicking off that aren't questions. It's just people telling you thank you, people thanking you for your power, for your strength, for your empowerment, for your insight, for your honesty. There is someone who said, Kelly's had me crying twice because of how they had an outdated version of children with Down syndrome. So I want to let you know that there's so many people writing great things, but not specifically asking questions, and I'm only sticking with the questions like Roger, who's in Toronto. And Roger writes, thank you for not dismissing your husband's feelings. I know that men and women handle this differently, and I love how you described your relationship with your husband. How does your husband let off steam in this situation? And also, is a new version of your husband a better dad than you ever thought he would be as well? Thank you for your great story.
Oh, thank you. Great question. Brett is, I can't imagine him being any better father than he was. I say he was born to be a father. As I said before, he handles things more internally. I think sometimes men think they have to be this pillar of strength and that they can't break down. And there's been far less, quote, breakdowns on for Brett than there has been for me these last couple years. But there are times that he will express it. I think Brett expresses things by doing. There's some stories in the book I talk about that I realized when he felt sad, he just had to pick up and start doing. He had to, there's a story in the book of Nella's first bath, and this is just, days after we brought her home. And I found him in the garage with tears in his eyes. And I immediately, to see my husband cry, it's a very rare sight. And I asked him, what's wrong? And he just wiped his tears away and said, I'm fine. I'm looking for a heater. I need to heat up the bathroom for her first bath. And it's just a poignant story that says so much more. He needed to do something. He wanted to make it better. If he couldn't fix Down syndrome, he could at least take care of this baby and make the bathroom warm for her first bath. And I find him repeatedly doing these things. When he's sad, he does something. He does something to make himself feel like, you know what, I can be a good dad, and I'm in control of that. And it really is a greater testament to how we handle challenges. And I know for my life, when I handle something, I ask myself, what can you do right now? What can you do right now to make it better?
We're going to keep going. We're going to go with Rachel. Rachel's in Maine, and Rachel writes, hey, excellent show. Could you ask if she would say that the new blessings/challenges of raising Nella have blinded her or cut off the nitpicky stuff she used to have with her friends and day-to-day life? Do less things get to her because of this new challenge and blessings? Thank you for a great show.
Great question. You know, it definitely has made me more aware of what's important in life, and I tend to brush off things more easily. However, I always I like to be very real and be honest about things, and even in friendship relationships, or just, you know, things still bug me once in a while with my husband, with friends, in our home. Sure, and we are human. We're still going to have those moments, but I definitely have a better perspective. And I think I communicate a little bit better more through this, too. And I give people the benefit of the doubt more. I tend just to remember, at least in relationships, when anything, you know, something silly happens, I always remember the way that people were there for me during the time that I needed it most. And it helps me be more compassionate.
Wow, Kelly, what you're talking about is gratitude. And I can't believe we haven't mentioned this before. Gratitude is playing a huge part in your perspective.
Yes, absolutely. It is all about gratitude. And,
oh,
you know,
that
is the importance of writing for me, too. For me, writing in a blog, writing the book, it was this sort of huge gratitude exercise and writing and this book is, I also want to mention, too, that there's more than 200 color photographs throughout the book. There's not a memoir like it that I know of that has photos throughout the entire book. And photography was a big part of this journey for me. It's something that I've always been interested in. But kind of by taking pictures of things reminded me of what I have in life and reminded me to be grateful. Not to mention, I think it's important in that there's a lot of negative image stereotypes with Down syndrome, and anyone that picks up this book and flips through it, I think, would say that, you know, Nella is a beautiful child as well as so many other children I've met that have Down syndrome, and there's a certain beauty that comes through and a sense of normalcy for our family.
Nancy's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and she writes, Steve, extra hugs to both of you. She spoke earlier about how Down syndrome awareness has changed in the past couple of decades. I thank her for her raising awareness with this fantastic book. Could you please ask her what she would like to see in Down syndrome awareness? And please, again, thank her for her work.
You know, I would like to see this awareness continue to grow. I get emails all the time. I love hearing, even in high school, you know, you're hearing more and more of these individuals with Down syndrome. Instead of being made fun of, their homecoming queen, their homecoming king, they're on the football team. There's still so much more needs to be done in incorporating them in the workplace and having employers hire individuals with Down syndrome. They'll be better for it. And, you know, a lot more still has to be done in terms of the medical field and the OBs, genetic counselors, pediatricians that are giving couples this news. Especially prenatally, that it is done in the right way and that it is done with powerful information, with support, with resources, directing couples, giving them the facts and directing them to the right places, directing them to families so that they can see what it looks like. I think a lot of people make decisions based on these kind of archaic views of Down syndrome and information that's not true. And a lot needs to be done in getting the right information in the people's hands that really, truly give this information to parents in the very beginning when it's most important.
Roger is in Seattle, Washington, and Roger writes, excellent guest today, Steve. I don't really know much about it. Do you mind my asking, is there different degrees of Down syndrome, and what are the cognitive comparisons to someone without Down syndrome? Thank you, and thank you. She also made me cry earlier.
Oh, great question. And, you know, there's still a lot that we're learning about Down syndrome. There's still research being done. There are different kinds of Down syndrome. One is mosaic. It's a more rare kind of Down syndrome where instead of every single 21st chromosome having this extra chromosome, there's only some of them. The scientific definition of Down syndrome is a naturally occurring chromosomal abnormality where instead of two copies of the 21st chromosome, there are three. There's no test to be done to show a range. There are there is a range of disabilities, and there are some health issues. Fortunately, Nella has been very healthy 50% of babies born with Down syndrome have congenital heart problems. We didn't have to face that. There's an increased likelihood for a number of things, leukemia, Alzheimer's among them. And as far as cognitively, yes, there's a range, but you have to remember outside of Down syndrome, there's also a range of IQs with typical children. And the most powerful thing you can do is to not let this, quote, disability, I don't even like to call it a disability, it's more differently abled, affect the way that you teach these children. We teach Nella just like we taught Lainey. We read to her. She's already, has a wonderful vocabulary. And the more that you believe they are capable of, the more they will be able to achieve.
Well, that's exactly it. It's again, perspective in the story. What you just said is exactly on. The more capable, as long as you're not limiting them, because you're
absolutely
saying that and previously with previous agreements with reality, a lot of ways we could have limited the children and by ourselves, by our own ignorance. But you're saying don't even do that. So really the way that you're approaching this, Kelly, is you will find as you go along, as it unfolds, you'll find where you need to tweak, where you need to put a little more attention. Is that the way it's going to work?
Absolutely. You know, and I heard a story recently I loved that someone told me that a friend of theirs had an adult son with Down syndrome, and he said he wanted to be, a surgeon, a neurosurgeon or something. And she did not say, well, that's not possible. And she got down to the bottom. What does he love to do? I want my child to do what he loves to do. And she kept asking him, well, what is it that you want to do about this? And the more questions that she asked, he loved working with instruments and medical instruments. And she got down to the fact of what he wanted to do and is what he's doing right now. He works in a surgical room, and he does counts the instruments, prepares the instruments before surgery, and that is what he loves to do. And I think we have a tendency to, our children will come and say, this is what I want to do, instead of saying, well, I'm sorry, honey, you can't do that. Find out, we're going to find a way. What is it about that makes you want to do that? I want you to be happy. And if you want to do something, I want to make a way for you to do it. And it takes a little creativity on the parent's behalf, but it's something that any parent is willing to do for their child. And I know that I will do whatever I can. I will tear down walls, and I will make a way for Nella to be able to reach her highest potential and to be able to have opportunities.
Wow, but only because first, in a sense, you got out of your own way.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. Folks, this show is flying by. I'm going to get to at least one more feedback. We're speaking with Kelly Hampton. KelleHampton.com is the website. The book is Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected. Also, she has a fantastic blog, and Join the Small Things. That's at KelleHampton.com. If you're listening through our website, just click on Kelly's name. It'll go right to KelleHampton.com. Let's go with Nina. Nina's in San Antonio, Texas. She writes, excellent show. Personal question. How does that change her and her husband going out for date night? Does it are there challenges in finding babysitters, or do the friends pick up in that place too? Please give her a big hug. What an incredible woman.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. You know what? We it's no different, and actually we probably have more people that Nella have gone on their way to want to be a part of Nella's life, and usually it's, out of all these number of people, who do we ask to babysit? A funny story, I last year had the privilege of attending this National Down Syndrome Society Gala, and Sharon Stone was the speaker, and she was presenting an award for her a friend of hers that has Down syndrome that she has known all her life. And she told the story of this gentleman who is now, I believe, in his 40s, and she met him when she was young. She was asked to come babysit. And she said she'll never forget that he was a new neighbor and said, I have two children. Could we have Sharon come and babysit? And she got to the house, and one of the sons had Down syndrome. And the father never said a word about it. Just said, here's the paper. This is what you do. We'll be back at this time. And I think that's a powerful thing, is that why do you need to say something? And I talk in the book about after Nella was born, feeling the need like we had to go to the neighborhood and tell everybody, like, why is it so important to point out she has Down syndrome? I had a moment in the grocery store when she was a newborn, and this woman that I had seen for, you know, days when I was pregnant, knew that I was having a baby. She came over running over to see the baby, and I pulled the sling back and showed the baby to her, and I remember it just blurted out, she has Down syndrome. And later realizing, why do we even need to say this? You know, perhaps we're the ones that are making people see the differences when you don't need to say anything. This is my child. This is my beautiful baby I just had. Nothing needs to be said. And if we want people to see our child as we see them and to see a person first and not the disability, then perhaps we need to go out of our way not to make the disability so present.
Yeah, that's great because you're seeing her as beautiful and perfectly imperfect like the rest of us and powerful beyond measure like the rest of us. And sharing that in this story is for me, a fantastic gift to everybody out there. Kelly, we've been talking for just short of an hour. It's time to close the show. I want to first let people know that Kelly's website is kellyhampton.com. That's K-E-L-L-E Hampton.com. The book is Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected, and her blog is Enjoying the Small Things. All that information is at kellyhampton.com. You can click on Kelly's name from our website, and it'll take you right there. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was inspirational. It was informative, and thank you so much for sharing your insight and your wisdom with our listeners.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a privilege.
Folks, I want to make sure that you check out kellyhampton.com, and can I tell you how much I love hosting this show? I get to talk to the most incredible people. Do you know, I've said this a million times, I'm going to say it one more time. There are people out there, it's easy to tell yourself a victim story, but there are people out there that will take the hand that you've been dealt and they will win. And we just spoke to one of them. Kelly Hampton is an incredible woman, celebrating the empowered woman, just shy of Mother's Day. Hey, listen, I want you to make sure you check out kellyhampton.com. That's K-E-L-L-E, Hampton.com. Her blog is Enjoying the Small Things. She's an incredible photographer, by the way. And the book is Bloom, Finding Beauty in the Unexpected, a memoir by Kelly Hampton. I'm not going to take this show any further. I don't even want to touch it. Kelly is brilliant. And I think that's a great way to close this show. Get out there and recognize that it is you that is creating the story. It is you that is choosing the perspective, and you can change it. You can change it. You can empower yourself. You can inspire yourself. And when you're doing so, you can't help but empower and inspire others. Make sure you recognize that beauty about yourself, that we are all perfectly imperfect and powerful beyond measure. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. You can check out our website, thebettertoday.com. You can check out stevemaraboli.com. And, of course, every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. We're going to keep sharing the empowerment. You do the same. Share it with everybody you know. There are some incredible people out there with some incredible stories, and that will inspire you and empower you in immeasurable ways. Make sure you share it with others. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.